We're at a point in the road here.
What do the rest of us do, David? What do we do?
It's not for me to tell people what to do. It's for me to point out the consequences of sitting on your ass, letting a handful of psychopaths and idiots, because that's the dynamic, destroy your future, destroy your livelihood, destroy your kids' future and your grandkids' future. You go on sitting on your ass, and that is an absolute gimme. What have you got to lose? What is there to lose? Most people have lost everything anyway. So what you got to lose? You know, if you... Well, I said this before in our chat 2 weeks ago, but if you are faced with an army coming at you, if you've got somewhere to run, you'd likely run. Army, symbolic of this freaking cult and all its agencies. But when you end up in a canyon and there's only one way out and that army's coming through that way out, well, what are you going to do? There's nowhere to run. So you stand up. You say, we're not having this. We're not having this. You want me to do this? You want me to do that? Well, I ain't doing it. Because when you've got nowhere to run, you've got nowhere to lose. And you know what's happened as a result of this lockdown? Humanity has nowhere to run anymore. So what are you gonna do? Are you just gonna take it? You're gonna let the tiny few do this to you? Or are you gonna say, I'm not having it? And I'll tell you what I do. I go out whenever I frickin' like, right? Whenever I choose. And I don't go near anybody. Because although I say they're buying a monumental lie, I respect their right and their belief that they're in some kind of frickin' danger. So I don't go near them. I don't want to go near them. I like my own company to a large extent. So what I do is I walk out my house, don't see anybody, get me car on my own, and I drive out into the countryside. And I walk, don't see anybody, the odd person, you know, nowhere near me. And then I walk back and I get in my car and I drive home. I get out of my car and I walk back into my flat. I don't see anybody. Now, I'm allowed to do that according to these psychopaths and idiots once a day in Britain, right? Now, I've said to them, send me a uniform. I don't care what fancy dress it is. Send me a dark suit. And if they can explain to me why me doing what I've just described 10 times a day is going to harm anyone, even by what I say is your ludicrous criteria, then I'll stop doing it. But they never will be able to do that because, of course, it's total frickin' nonsense. And the fact that it's nonsense, the fact that going out on your own and away from everybody, if you do it once or 10 times a day, doesn't matter, you're still not going to harm anybody, even by their ludicrous criteria. But you can only go out once. That tells you what this is about. It's not about health. It's about control. And it's about a control agenda that goes back ridiculous amounts of time and is now heading towards its fruition. This is all in my books in great detail, the ancient modern nature of this, because this is not something that's new. It's something that's now reaching its end game. And 8 billion people, nearly, 66 million in Britain, number of people locking everyone down, tiny. I think I see a way out of this.
What's the way, David? What's the way out of this? Us choosing to make a decision based on our own knowledge and our own research and our own gut feeling of what's right.
Let me just say this. We got into this frickin' mess through acquiescence to power. Most of that power, all of that power, is simply our perception that it has power. 66 million, handful, I don't think it has. So if we got into this mess by acquiescing to the illusion of power, what's the frickin' answer? Ceasing to do so. And then we'll see where the real power is. And it's not with the few.
David, what's it like to watch 30 years of what you've been working on all come to fruition, prediction, reality in 3 weeks? What's it like?
I don't give myself the time to be frustrated, because that's just drains your energy. So I just get on with it. And I see silver linings in every cloud. I've been aware, Brian, all the way through this 30 years, as all the laughter and the ridicule and the abuse, that it had to get real bad before enough minds were focused on the fact that this world is not like they thought it was, and it's not run by the forces they thought it was. So I see this not just as a danger, it's certainly that. I see it as a wonderful opportunity. Because people, well, there will be some, of course, because they've allowed themselves, they don't have to be, they've allowed themselves to become software programs, press enter people, I call them. Who simply have denied themselves the capacity for free thought. But there are a lot of people whose perceptions of the world will have changed in the last 3 weeks. They will have realized that they can't just wave away the idea that a few people are running the world to a very malevolent end, because they're watching it unfold in front of their eyes. And we will see in the weeks to come what impact that mass realization of what we're dealing with and what this world is will have in its impact upon what people do and how people cease to acquiesce to power, or the perception of power, because that's all it is. We are in a position here where this could be the turning point when humanity got off its frickin' knees.
Some 7 million people watched our last episode, David. I'm sure tens of millions will watch this. Apparently our last episode is going to be broadcast on a television station in this country and be promoted in a mainstream newspaper with nearly a million circulation. People are listening. They're tuning in. Does this give you hope?
Oh, of course. And it's not about me. It's about the information. It's about the realization of the reality that we're experiencing behind the smoke screens and the illusions that we're given and told to believe in. So, you know, in the old Yellow Brick Road, Wizard of Oz, they seem to be dealing with an all-powerful force. And when they looked behind the curtain, it was an old bloke who had no power at all. And this cult expresses its power by persuading the target population that it has power. Its power is in our acquiescence to that illusion of power. We now have the chance to break the spell, to break the mind spell, and see behind the curtain. And what we'll find is something that's not powerful at all once we stop acquiescing to it. And it's where I want things to go, but it's also where I know things can go. Because in the last few weeks, worldwide, that spell has been broken. And at the same time, this cult has broken cover. It's walked into the room where we can see it. And you know what's happened? The frickin' door has clicked behind it. And we're now in a different game. And I tell you this, I have tracked these people, this cult, for 30 years full time. And I've seen what they do, and I've seen how they act, and I've seen their staggering, shocking levels of psychopathy. And you know what? I don't fear them one smear, because I am more powerful than they are, and they frickin' know it. I ain't come here to fail, and I frickin' won't.
Why are you more powerful than they are, David? Why?
Because I have levels of consciousness, and everybody watching this program has those same levels of consciousness if they will only open their minds to it. It's theirs, it's their right, it's their true self. Whereas this cult is so limited in its perception, in its ability to make things happen. You see, what they've done, because they are so limited, I promise you, they are so limited. The only way they can control humanity is to put humanity in a smaller box than they're in. That's how they've done it. And when humanity steps out of the box and realizes its true identity, which is a state of infinite awareness, which these pillocks aren't, then they're in a box. We are expanded consciousness well beyond the box. And they become powerless to that. They have to put us in a smaller box than they're in. That's what they've done. And they could not do it without it. Once we open our eyes, we open our minds, we open our hearts, the walls of the prison, the walls of the bubble, the walls of the box, whatever you want to talk about, just fade away. And we become the true power that we really are. All of us. Yes, you, Ethel, on the checkout. You as well. All of us. And the way they have controlled us is by blocking out that expansion of true self and locked us away in a bubble where we perceive everything only through the five senses. We self-identify with labels. We self-identify with our life stories and our race and our sexuality and all that stuff. They're just experiences. And they keep us in the bubble when we think that's the I. And that's, so we're in the bubble, they're in a slightly bigger bubble, and so they control. When we realize the true nature of what we are, which is consciousness, eternal, exploring, forever consciousness, having a brief experience called human, and we tap into that infinite creativity, power, and open our hearts. And when you open your heart, it's not just to love, not I love you, darling, saw you down the disco, love. I mean real love in its infinite, unconditional sense. What you're doing is you're tapping in to a level of consciousness that does not have something which is the very foundation of human control. It does not have fear. So, I am a unique expression of all that is, has been, and ever can be. I will go on exploring forever, forever. This is just a brief experience. What is there to fear? Nothing. And when you lose fear, you do what you know to be right without asking the question, which is fear asking the question. This is what I know I need to do, but what are the consequences for me? It's asking about the consequences, which is fear asking the question, that leads to people not doing what they know to be right. Once you open that and you go beyond fear, then you don't ask about consequences. You just do what you know to be right. And you know something? This cult is terrified of that. It's terrified of fearless people because fear is its currency of control. And if people are not fearful, it has lost its currency of control. And that's why I have more power than they have. Because you know something? They are consumed by fear. And their biggest fear, because it's over then, is humanity awakening to what the frickin' hell is really going on and who is really in control. They can only control by their target population being in ignorance of that. Once we realize their game is over, and that's why I have more power than them, and they frickin' know it, and all of us have more power than them. Put aside fear. Stop asking about consequences, and you will see where the real power is. And it's not with these psychopaths.
It seems so clear. It seems so obvious what you just said, David. But fear paralyzes so many people because they're worried about all these consequences from the postage stamp mentality that you've been talking about for 30 years. And so there's all the reasons why they shouldn't do what they should do, and then that stops them. But they are this close to opening it up and saying, what do you got? You've got nothing. I've got nothing to be scared of because I am here as an infinite being and infinite consciousness. So bring it, and then we'll realize that they have no power.
Ask one question if you need to. Fear will ask it. What are the consequences of me not taking this shit anymore? Okay. Ask another question. What are the consequences of me taking it? And I'll tell you now, the consequences of taking it are infinitely greater than not taking it. So when people let go of fear, including the fear of death, which is freezes so many people, fear of death, there is no death. It's just a transfer of point of attention. That's what death is. That's all. We're infinite awareness. Once you let go of fear, what can stop you, control you, impose its will upon you now? Because it's done through fear, and when you have no fear, it can't do it. So, bring it on. You don't frighten me. And you know something? You never frickin' will.
For some reason, I'm having a flashback to an old episode of Star Trek. David, the one with William Shatner, the original ones. And there was this alien entity that was terrorizing the Starship Enterprise, and it fed off their own hate and fear of each other. And when Captain Kirk realized this at the very last scene, he said, oh, that's what they're feeding off. And they all started laughing, and they all started being joyful, and the entities literally died in front of their eyes, and they saw they were these tiny little insignificant insects, and they ran away.
Well, if people read my books, when I go into the deep level of what's behind this cult, that is so close to the truth of what's going on. If we go deeper into deeper levels, exactly what is going on. And the greatest thing apart from fear is they have to divide and rule us. So they have dividers on race and sexuality and political view and all the rest of it. And if we could just find the peace to be at peace with others having a different view to us, those fault lines would fall. And we would start to see that whether you are a Jew or a Muslim or a transgender or black, white, whatever, these are just different experiences of the same infinite state of awareness. They're just different points of attention in the same state of awareness. We are each other. And the key is, you believe what you want to believe, but don't seek to impose it on anyone else. I don't care what people believe. I don't care what they think or what their views are. I only care when they seek to impose them on other people. That's when the problem starts. So why can't I sit with a Muslim and a Jew and a Christian and a Hindu and disagree with their belief systems, because don't buy any of them, and yet we just have a friendly chat? No need for conflict, no need for fighting. I don't agree with you. It's very interesting what you're saying, though. There's some things there, I do resonate with a bit of whatever you all say. I just don't buy the whole belief system. But anyway, let's have a cup of tea and a chat, okay? Nice to meet you. Let's have a chat again. There's no need for conflict. Conflict comes, and divide and rule comes, when each of those is trying to impose their belief on the others or me. That's when the conflict comes. One of the great things that has to happen for us to come together is people have to find peace in other people having different opinions, because we are expressions of all that is, has been, and ever can be. And what am I saying when I say that? We are expressions of all possibility. All possibility. So what the hell are we doing insisting that everyone shares a sense of the possible that we have? We're dealing with all possibility. We should be celebrating real diversity, not the frickin' illusion of it with a woke. We should be celebrating real diversity and celebrating the uniqueness and the spontaneity and the different ways and angles of seeing everything. We should be celebrating that. It's how we learn from each other. But when you think, I am right, this is the woke mentality, which is orchestrated by the 1%, by the way. That's why billionaires fund it, like Soros. I am right. And therefore, by definition, Brian, if I am right, you're saying something different to me, so you must be wrong. And if you're wrong, what's it matter if you don't have freedom of speech? You're wrong, right? But when we say, everyone has a right to their opinion. Everyone has a right to their view. And there's no one who's all right, and there's no one who's all wrong. It's just a matter of degree. When we say that, we're at peace with it. We can disagree on the way we see the world and be in perfect harmony with each other. Because no matter what our labels and the divisions and the fault lines that are used to divide us, this cult has every single one of us in its gun sight. Can you not see that now? Hindus are locked down, Christians are locked down, Jews are locked down. Hello? Let this be the time when we see the fallacy and the farce of allowing ourselves to be divided and ruled by our beliefs and our belief in I am right. And therefore, no one else should be able to have a different opinion to me. Because that's how the cult works. Plays groups off against each other, sets them at war with each other. And if they just looked up, they'd realize that the same hands are holding all the strings while we fight down here. let's come together, realize what's going on and where this is going, and cease to be divided and ruled. We're in this together, and we'll get out of it together.
My favorite part of our last conversation here 3 weeks ago was at the very end, where you said, everyone should make up their own mind and do what they feel.
Exactly.
And that's the opposite of what any person with an agenda, any cult, any government, any corporation says. They all tell you what to do. No. Do this, because this is why, because I am right.
Yeah.
And yet David Icke, at the very end, says, do what's in your heart.
Do what you feel to be right. Do what you know to be right. And you will make a unique contribution, because that's what you are, unique contribution to getting out of this. But acquiescence is not an option, because acquiescence is how we got here.
I had a call with someone this week, and they said, what's David like? And I paused, and I said, David is a great man. And I think you are a great man, David.
Well, that's very kind. But we're all great.
We are all great.
It's just that most people have forgot. And they think they're Ethel on the checkout and Bill at the cash and carry. No, no. That's just your experience, mate. You are all that is, has been, and ever can be. And all that power, and all that creativity, and all that insight, and all that knowing is just waiting for you to open your mind to it, to break out of the bubble of the five-sense illusion. And then you'll realize you ain't Ethel on the checkout, and you ain't Bill at the cash and carry. And at that point, this world will change in ways that we couldn't imagine possible.
I think that's exactly where we're going to leave this today, David.
I'm going to shake your hand.